The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Good afternoon, Tucson, and welcome to the Buckmaster Show here on KVOI, your place for trusted local news and talk. I'm Dylan Smith, editor of TucsonSentinel.com, sitting in for Bill, who's jetted off for slightly cooler climes for a few days. Joining me today on what will be an in-depth reporters roundtable discussion are Joe Ferguson, political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star.
Thanks for having me.
And Blake Morlock, our What the Devil Won't Tell You columnist for TucsonSentinel.com.
How you doing?
Plus, we've got a Buckmaster Show exclusive interview coming up, which will answer the question of why Tucson will be on the front page of pretty much every major English newspaper this weekend. We have Bill Gardner, a reporter for The Telegraph, which is essentially the British version of The New York Times. Is that fair to say, Bill?
We like to think so.
You are a very serious newspaper, as it were.
Extremely serious.
So hang on for why Tucson's on, going to be splashed all over the front page everywhere else, and probably not even hear a peep about it here in town. And that piques my interest a little bit. But first, we've got some important political news going on right here in Tucson with an election that may, in many ways, set the future course for our city, and it's happening right now. We're going to know a lot more after the ballots are counted on Tuesday, but we're here to review what's going on and maybe help some of you folks out there make some last-minute decisions about how to fill up your ballot. If you have a question or a comment, please call in the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. So, Joe Ferguson, what's going on in this election? And I got to say, personally, I was hoping for something a little bit better, just as far as our civic discussion.
Well, it's gotten a little nasty in the last couple of weeks. If you haven't checked your mail recently, you're the only people who haven't seen the onslaught of flyers, mailers, postcards, and palm cards stuffed in there, trading insults between two major campaigns and IE groups that have joined that fight.
So we have pretty much lots of maybe not even quite so veiled insults and charges flying back and forth between the campaigns of Rahino Romero and Steve Farley, the two of the three Democrats who are running for mayor, along with Randy Dorman, and also their supporters, outside groups that are backing them. Why is this going on?
I think it's a lot about the idea of tell me who you're with and I'll tell you who you are. And so, you know, both campaigns are painting with very broad brushes the idea that you can say that Steve Farley's been bought by the car dealers and that Rahino Romero is not a true progressive because her campaign co-chair has given a lot of money to Donald Trump over the years.
So, Blake Morlock, your take.
You got to be kidding me. I mean, that's basically it. It's like, okay, people are getting are running for office and they are getting support in a Democratic in a field where the Democratic primary is the game in town. It's the only game in town, and
almost the only game in town.
Yeah,
let's be fair to Ed Ackerley, who's an independent, who's going to be on the ballot.
But right now, it's the only game in town.
It's the only we have.
It's the only contested election in town right now.
And we have the Ward 1 council race on the Democratic side, too.
For mayor. But there is no Republican primary.
Exactly. That's why there's so much attention and so much money being thrown at this, right?
And there's a lot of tension, a lot of money being thrown at these two candidates. And some of the Republicans are trying to figure out, well, you know, who is it I can deal with among the Democrats? And frankly, showing some support across the party, party lines is a time-tested strategy of getting elected and showing you have support out there in the community. So the idea that somehow this is disqualifying because, you know, Jim Click gave Steve Farley some pocket lint and $500, but for Jim Click, pocket lint, and that Rahino Romero has somebody, you know, yes, Rahino Romero, one of her co-chairs is Cody Ritchie, who donated to Donald Trump. Her other co-chair is Carolyn Campbell, and
one of the founders of the Arizona Green Party.
Yeah, you don't get much more liberal street cred in this town than Carolyn Campbell. So if she's okay with it, I don't know why others would think that somehow Raheem is selling out.
Let's go to the bonus round edition. Can you name Steve Farley's co-chair?
No.
Can you name Randy Dorman's?
No.
Who's helping out for Ed Ackerley?
Exactly.
When is a co-chair become such a pivotal decision-making issue?
There was one time back in 2006 where Gabby Giffords had Eddie Bash as a co-chair in a really crowded Democratic primary for Congress. This is her first run. And the labor
there were
unions,
like six or seven people in that primary.
Yeah,
right?
It was the whole race was 13 people, but yeah, it was about six, seven people. And the labor unions didn't like that Bash was a co-chair because he had union issues with the store. But that was the last time I can think of that anybody really.
You got to go to the vault
about.
To get me that one.
Yeah, I know. I think, yeah, you were still, you were in Flagstaff covering CD1 at that point, I think.
Yeah, but
if anybody
going
specializes
to
in going to the
yeah,
vault, it's Blake
right.
Warlock. So.
Yeah.
Is it weird that we saw so early in this primary sort of this general election style jockeying for position for people to try and paint themselves as bipartisan? And we can include Randy Dorman in that. She went and got the endorsement of the Chamber of Commerce and some other folks from the business community. So you have these three Democratic primary candidates for mayor who in the primary are not exactly doing all of the things that you would do to appeal to the hardcore liberal base that generally votes in a primary.
We're losing that, though. I mean, I think that more and more you're finding that independents are becoming this larger and bigger wild card. And when you're splitting Democratic votes between three different groups, you probably want to try to be more partisan at the end of the day, or more bipartisan at the end of the day. Because
just
these,
to try and turn out a couple more thousand votes in the primary?
Yeah, that could be the one, that could be what we're talking about.
Because independents can vote in this primary.
If they are motivated.
Yeah.
Well, one of the other things you really can't overstate inside Democratic Party politics is how myopically focused the insiders are on wards 2 and 4. And they tend to think
the two East Side wards.
The two East Side wards. And they tend to think that it is that they're more conservative. They want that's the view anyway. They're more conservative. They want to see that sort of thing. And frankly, wards 2 and 4, those two East Side wards, Ward 4 being the Southeast Side, Ward 2 being more the Northeast Side. That's where there are a lot of votes out there. That those are really high efficacy voters, and so they I think there's a play towards those voters too.
If they're there, I mean, again, this is going to be 30% if we're lucky in terms of an all mail ballot return. This is going to be a very low turnout kind of election.
And it's going to be motivated voters who tend to probably be more liberal anyway. I'm not saying it's a right read of them. I'm just saying inside the party, the party itself, there is this real focus on those voters.
This is the Buckmaster Show on KVOI. I'm Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. I'm sitting in for Bill, who's on vacation, and we are running down the last little bits of Tucson's mayoral primary election and a city council primary. We have Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star and Blake Morlock, columnist for TucsonSentinel.com. And we have a caller on the air. David, you have a comment on what's going on. Go ahead.
Yeah, I sure do. I prefer Steve Farley. Here's the reason why. For years, the city of Tucson's been unfriendly to businesses. And what that does has caused businesses to leave, and that's contributing to the sprawl that destroys our Sonoran Desert, because where do they go? They go to the strip malls. Developers are busy building along Tangerine Road, and they want to build more strip malls there. There's more businesses leave Tucson. It fills the sprawl, destroys our Sonoran Desert, as well as erodes Tucson's tax base, because when I drive down through Tucson, I see strip malls. They're just empty. All the businesses left, and this hurts the tax base, as well as contributes to the sprawl. And that's why it's support Steve Farley, because he's more friendly to businesses.
All right. Thank you, David. We should mention that one of the other Democrats on the ballot, Randy Dorman, she is a developer, and not the sort of developer who's into building huge subdivisions across you know, vast swaths of virgin desert. She's an infill developer and has a number of projects going.
Time Doucette style.
Doing some adaptive reuse and finding small vacant lots in the middle of town. And we brought up Cody Ritchie and some of the other business community supporters that Regina Romero has been able to cultivate and get behind her. And they say a lot of that is because they like her approach, and that she is it. Cody told me that at least Regina Romero is open to listening. So each of those candidates kind of has the ear of the business community, which I guess puts us in a kind of unusual situation in a Democratic primary, where you would more often be hearing about support from environmentalists and other more left-wing factions.
Well, yeah, there's also just how the GOP has just gone out of business in local politics.
Speaking of a closed-up shop, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, really, strip malls and vacant storefronts. And it's part of a national trend. I mean, you can win Mojave County County Attorney's race, but you can't run it as a social justice Democratic socialist, okay? You can win in Tucson. You just can't run up and down the line, Make America Great Again. And we've seen that. We've seen when they run, and they run a concerted effort, and the Republican Party gets behind the candidate and coalesces, they challenge. They can come close. They can win. But it's just they stopped after 2011 really fielding any candidates. And
they've been fielding candidates, but maybe not folks who were have the experience to make a serious run.
And the party also hasn't been financing it. They haven't been coming together. I mean, you've got Michael Hicks, who's a legit candidate.
Longtime TUSD school board member.
Yeah, longtime TUSD. He's proven himself as an elected official.
And he's running in
Ward 4
for city council.
Has a real good shot. But he's only raised, I think, like $7,000. I mean, he's raised ridiculously.
What's that figure, Joe? You've been tracking the numbers coming
in. It's small. I think seven's about right. I looked at it yesterday, but I haven't committed to memory because I'm focused on the primary.
Yeah, and it's understandable. But without a general election, I think this is bad for any community to have one party rule. And if it's Democrat, if it's Republican, the parties get lazy. Politicians get lazy, and they stop answering to the people as much as they answer to the interests that back the party. So I would love to see the Republicans make an insurgent or make a resurgence again, but you have to run on local issues. And there are chances
we can get into a little bit more maybe about this primary, and especially what we may see coming up in the general election right after this word from some of our fine Buckmaster Show sponsors. And Joe Ferguson, you are a frequent flyer here on the Buckmaster program. You know what we're going to talk about here.
It's where I had breakfast last week.
Did you?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was amazing.
Where are we talking about?
We're talking about Mona's Danish Bakery.
Yes, of course. This portion of the Buckmaster program is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, which is home of the...
Kringle.
The Danish Kringle. And I got to say, Denmark's kind of been in the news for the last week or so. I've been informed by reliable sources that the Danish Kringle is still readily available up at Mona's.
It's for sale.
Okay. So with no embargo or tariff problems or anything going on there quite yet, despite this whole Greenland situation?
Only from your cardiologist.
Oh. So Mona's is up at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to monasdanishbakery.com or buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. I will be right back here in the Buckmaster Show.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and noble hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show here on KVOI, Trusted Local News and Talk. I'm Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com, sitting in for Bill, who's on vacation. He kind of tossed some folks the keys, and we are taking this thing for a spin.
8 miles high.
There you go. Joining me is Blake Morlock, our What the Devil Won't Tell You columnist at TucsonSentinel.com, and Joe Ferguson, who's the political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. Thanks for being here, gentlemen.
Thanks.
And we have a special guest today who we will get to in just a few more minutes. We have Bill Gardner of The Telegraph in London.
Hi, Dylan.
And you've got some interesting news on tap for us. And Tucson's going to be on the front page all over the place tomorrow, including on your newspaper.
That's right. I mean, this is perhaps the greatest story that no one in Tucson has heard of, I've learned. It's arriving here.
So we will get to that in just a few minutes. We've got a little bit more local election talk to run down. During that commercial break, we were talking a little bit about the money issue and how fundraising for this race, and if both by the candidates themselves and by these outside independent expenditure committees, is just through the roof in the mayor's race. And then we have these city council candidates who are basically raising no money at all. Joe Ferguson, you've really been digging into this some.
Well, we've got a couple that are just, you know, kind of treading water in terms of raising money. I mean,
the city council candidates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if it's just that these large mayoral candidates have just blocked out the sun in terms of donors and they just can't get any money, or, you know, they're just kind of lying low until after the primary's over.
Well, when you think about a candidate like Miguel Ortega, who's, you don't think deep pockets. And
He's one of the four Democrats who are in the Ward 1 primary.
In the Ward 1 primary, super progressive, super liberal. I'm not sure he believes in money. That was an editorial comment from me and not based on any conversation with Miguel, but you get the idea. So, I mean, these aren't, you know, these aren't people with access necessarily to deep pockets. Some of them aren't anyway.
I mean, Nikki Lee ran a year ago. She's got ties to Raytheon. Now, there could be some big money in that race.
She ran for the legislature, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The point you're raising is good though, because it may just be that there's so much money going
well,
in.
How much money are we talking about here? What's like
my
the
calculation
grand total?
My calculation based on August 10th filings are $1.6 million.
And that's almost all in this mayoral primary?
Almost exclusively.
I think Nikki Haley's between 20 and
Nikki Lee.
Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley used
I'm
to
sure
be
she's
the
doing
governor
well,
of South Carolina and a United Nations ambassador. But Nikki Lee is... I think she's at
19.
She's at 20.
Yeah,
and that's with matching funds.
Well, matching funds are going to be a big thing for some of these candidates, and so some of the things that we're talking about, that $1.6 million, $200,000 came from your pockets, gentlemen. We really appreciate it. So that public matching funds, you know, is really fueling some of these candidates. Raheena Romero pulled in almost $110,000 just from the city's matching program, which comes out of taxes.
And the other two Democrats running for mayor are not taking matching funds from the city, correct?
Correct. Two and a half. Ed Ackerley was a mayor for, or was a Democrat for 40 years.
Let's get into the Ed Ackerley situation.
He's recently found the independent light and is running as an independent.
Which means he went out and got himself a whole big pile of signatures, and his name is actually going to be on the ballot in November. He doesn't have a primary.
Right. He might have came in second, third, or fourth if he had ran as a Democrat. And so he, by doing this, he's pulled away from that, and he's now got no competition until November.
Does he have a chance?
So he'll come in second.
Blake Morlock, does Ed Ackerley have a chance to be the next mayor of Tucson?
I think Randy Dorman has a better chance of becoming the next. If we're looking for the non-Steve Raheena thing, I think she has a better chance just because you don't know when a candidate like that will pop.
But he's going to be on the ballot, so people are going to be voting for him come November.
I would think not. I would think it's about the same chance that, say, a Democrat has of winning Texas, you know. It might be close, but it's probably, I would be shocked.
Is Tucson just that much of a Democratic city?
Ask Bob Walkup that question. I mean, it's not been that long since he was mayor.
And one of the times Bob Walkup, who was a Republican, a three-term Republican, at least one of those elections, the Democrats didn't bother to run a soul against him, right?
And that was 2007. No, well, they ran, was that the Michael Toney year?
As you point out, I was stuck in flex.
Okay. There was
one year where he basically had no competition whatsoever.
And it was a very good Democratic year.
Yeah, and that was, you know, within the last maybe 15 years ago, not terribly ancient history. Speaking of things that don't come around very often, we have a pretty hotly contested mayoral primary this year. And maybe even more so because of the situation with the general election. But Tucson often does not have, really heated mayoral primaries.
1999 was the last one.
And this is, I think, maybe playing into, we're already seeing fairly decent turnout from the number of ballots that have been returned at this point. There are already more ballots in now than there were, in the last mayoral primary, because that one was not happening. There was no primary, really.
Yeah, but there's also only contested races for Democrats, so they're coming out. I mean, but, you know, 8,000 Republicans have returned their ballots, and they can't vote in anything other than to affirm, you know, who's on the ballot for November uncontested races.
Or the Ward 1 folks who, if they want to get their candidate through to November...
I think he's got a pretty hot shot at this point.
Sam Nagy is a write-in candidate who needs to get, 85 votes?
84.
Write-ins in this primary to make sure his name gets printed on the November ballot.
You should also remember that Sam was unable to be mayor as a Republican candidate because he failed to get enough signatures.
Yeah,
so this is his second turn in this election.
He only got about 30% of what he needed when he went to go file.
Yeah.
And Blake, you started talking about this a little bit. This really kind of points to how the Republican Party has kind of walked away from Tucson elections lately, even though they're still a force to be reckoned with. When we look at CD2, where and in the county where there are Republican districts, but just looking at the city of Tucson, is there a possibility that one of these Republicans on the east side might get elected to city council this year?
Well, this is another thing that people tend to forget, is that the elections are citywide. I mean, Raheena Romero never really faced a tough general election candidate, and I think there was this view, and really, and even now she won't if she wins, but there was this view that well, you know, look at her ward. I mean, people have these strange views inside party politics about how things actually work, because people would just look at Rahina and say, well, you can't beat her in Ward 1, forgetting that the whole dang election is citywide. So, yeah, I think because it is
the general election is citywide,
you know, Joe has a point that if somebody catches on, they can win. The problem that you have right now is something poli-sci people call negative partisanship, which is people are turning out to vote against the other party an awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can make it hard for a Republican to break through that, but not impossible. Sheriff Napier is an example. Took a little bit to get him in there, but Beth
Ford. That's a countywide election.
But that's a countywide election, but it's a Democratic county.
But let's put it back in perspective. The biggest item on the ballot might not be the mayor's race in November. It might be the
Sanctuary City.
And that could turn out Republicans who were unlikely to vote in a ward-only election.
Yeah, that absolutely could turn out.
And that could drive a little bit of support for the Republican city council candidates.
And the degree to which, Republicans would be relying on negative partisanship in the sense that they're willing to vote for a Democrat even if he's independent because they don't like the Democrats. You know, so we'll see. It could happen, but I tend to think that Republicans really need to turn out that base like they did in 2009 when last time they were super competitive, and then not chase candidates out.
On the Buckmaster Show live line, we have a former Tucson mayoral candidate, Rick Grinnell. Rick, go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. I think a lot of people are sort of missing part of this discussion. If Rahina wins, and given the amount of animosity between she and Mr. Farley,
wins the primary, you mean?
Yeah, if she wins the primary, I have a feeling Ed is going to... And Ed is a fairly moderate individual. I've known Ed a long time. And he's a reasonable, pragmatic individual. I think he's going to draw a lot of that Farley vote. I think if Rahina wins his primary, and if he can draw some of that... the independents aren't going to vote real big anyway. They never have historically. But between the Republicans and the anti-Rahina vote, I think you're going to see a much more contested race than people give credit to. And he theoretically could pull this rabbit out of the hat, simply because the people that are supporting Steve Farley are really afraid of Rahina Romero from a business perspective.
So, Rick Grinnell, do you think that the Republican Party, and especially some of those Republican political donors with deeper pockets, will step up to support the Ackerley campaign?
Well, Ed's running matching funds, so if he caps out, then that will be it, I'm sure, for Ed.
Well, but then there's the independent expenditure committees and all of that.
I don't know if there will be, but I do know this. I will be working very hard to ask the Republicans to get out of partisan politics and vote for Ed Ackerley, and I'm not going to make any bones about it. I'm afraid if Rahina Romero wins the mayor's race, we as a city and the business environment are going to be looking at another San Francisco, and I don't want to go there. It's just too much of a concern, and it's just her political ideology for years has scared me to death.
What do you mean by another San Francisco?
Oh, I have a feeling we will become even more liberal than we already are. Rahina works for the Center of Biological Diversity, which is, I'm in the mining industry, so which most people already know. But I think that when we look at what her position is on certain issues when it comes to business, she just scares me.
Well, one of the things about San Francisco that makes it so difficult is you got a big homeless population there because the property values are through the roof. The property values go through the roof when people have money, so it's not exactly like a giant wealth. I mean, people point to San Francisco all the time as if it's this wasteland, but it's kind of the opposite, you know.
Property values is one issue, but the fact is the mindset of the government of California has become so open to having the homeless pop in. There's nothing, you know, being homeless is a very sad state of affairs. We have to address it. But we also have a very, particularly in the winter, proportionately, we have a very high rate of homeless people here as well. And addressing that issue has to be a nonpartisan issue of how do we create an environment where we're putting people to work, not empowering people to stay homeless. And I'm sorry, but we have that mentality that has been to a certain degree. We have a lot of veterans, of which I am one, that need help. I've just left the VA myself, and I know that the VA is trying real hard. I will give credit to Mayor Rothschild. I think he did a good job at trying to help homeless people get into housing and also for jobs.
Well, we also have some of the fastest eviction laws in the country. I mean, you're in California, you're not out for a year. In Arizona, you're out in 20 days if you're late on a rent payment or miss a paycheck. So that's another issue with homelessness in this community.
Well, and like I say, it's not one particular scenario. It's across the board that we have to be looking at this from a much bigger general perspective instead of one situation at a time. But at the end of the day, if we don't have the basic environment that creates an other than tax incentives that we've been doing in downtown and Rio Nuevo for years now, we have to create an environment that puts people to work.
Well, do you think, speaking of putting people to work, we need to take a break and hear from some of these fine Buckmaster Show sponsors that make all of this possible. Rick Rennell, former mayoral candidate and still a little bit of a Republican player, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your thoughts. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys.
I'm Dylan Smith, sitting in for Bill here on the Buckmaster Show, and we will be back in just a couple of minutes.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Moa Mosgallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Good afternoon. This is the Buckmaster Show here on KVOI, your trusted local news and talk. I'm Dylan Smith, editor of TucsonSentinel.com. I'm sitting in for Bill, who's on vacation. And joining us is Joe Ferguson, the political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star.
Thanks for having me.
Blake Morlock, the What the Devil Won't Tell You columnist for TucsonSentinel.com.
How you doing?
And we have a special guest today, a Buckmaster Show exclusive, Bill Gardner, a reporter for The Telegraph, which is the London Telegraph, correct, sir?
That's right.
And that's a very serious newspaper, or so I'm told, basically the English version of the New York Times, some sober, serious, in-depth kind of coverage.
Yeah, I'm not too serious when we are serious, but we try to, you know, keep it light sometimes too.
But you're not like the Sun or the Mirror, one of those, you know, sort of big huge font headline tabloid kind of newspapers.
Our headlines have a pretty big font, but no, we're not a tabloid. we're a serious paper, and serious paper for serious times, I guess.
And we do live in some serious times, and we'll get to some of that maybe. Get your special UK perspective on some of these matters, but for some reason, you are sitting here in Tucson, having flown all the way from London to watch something that took maybe 2 minutes this morning. What is that, and why is it going to be all over every newspaper in England tomorrow morning?
This is a big story that no one in Tucson apparently has heard of. But I can tell you that in Britain and in other countries around the world, what happened in those 2 minutes in Tucson in Pima County Justice Court this morning will be big news. It concerns a guy called Sir Philip Green. He's a British billionaire businessman. He's the owner of Arcadia Group and a number of high street brands, including Topshop, which has a presence here in the US. He's friends of celebrity supermodels like Naomi Campbell and Kate Moss. And for the last couple of years, he's been facing allegations of misconduct. You might call it the British Me Too movement, I suppose.
And this guy is a mega billionaire, not just an ordinary run-of-the-mill billionaire, right?
He's one of the richest people in Britain and one of the richest businessmen in the world.
So he's the $100 million yacht type of guy.
Exactly. At least $100 million, I think.
And so all over UK newspapers, including your own, for months now, actually almost a year, there have been headlines. At first, some of these headlines were you couldn't refer to him by name for some reason.
Well, our laws in Britain are slightly more restrictive than yours in the US, and for a long time he took out an injunction, a court order in Britain, which meant that we couldn't reveal details of allegations of misconduct against him. After a long court battle from us, the Daily Telegraph, eventually he dropped his opposition to that. He dropped that injunction, and we were able to report some of those details. And since
so
you were
writing about this, but not naming him, and then all of a sudden you could actually say who it was.
That's right, and it's very tough to create a compelling story when you're not actually able to say who it's about. we tried our best. Eventually, we got there, as I say, after a long court battle, and now a lot of this material is out in the open.
So because you started writing about this over in the UK, and your newspaper, and you, as a reporter, you've done quite a bit of work on this.
We found an alleged victim in Los Angeles, and from that we found another alleged victim right here in Tucson. And despite all these victims that have come out across the globe, it's actually taken the prosecutors here, the county prosecutors here in Tucson, and the police here to take the situation seriously enough to actually take Sir Philip to court. And that's what that hearing was this morning. It was the first hearing anywhere in the world that into alleged criminal misconduct by Sir Philip.
So Sir Philip Green, the mega billionaire businessman, is facing actual criminal charges here in Pima County, and not a civil lawsuit like we've seen in so many other sort of Me Too situations.
What's alleged to have happened is that he is alleged to have assaulted a Pilates instructor called Katie Surridge at Canyon Ranch, which is Everyone, I presume, listening to this show will know Canyon Ranch.
And he owns a home there.
He owns a very large home there, a 9-bedroom mansion, and he still owns it there. And Miss Surridge alleged to us, the Telegraph, that he assaulted her during a class. I won't go into too much of the detail around that. But after that, police here launched an investigation. And in May, prosecutors announced that he would face these four charges of assault.
And we should, to be fair, clarify a little bit about what that assault was. It wasn't like a fist fight sort of assault, and nor was it a sexual assault. It was a bit less than that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, it's alleged that he touched her inappropriately, I guess would be the point. But there is no sexual component to the charge against him. It's a matter of assault rather than sexual assault.
And so what happened today?
So what happened today
Why were you here?
Look, the point is, okay, this is a major story. No one here cares about it, but across the globe, it's massive. And the point is that it's taken prosecutors in Tucson, which, to be brutally honest, most of the people in Britain have never really heard of Tucson. It's in a Beatles song. It's a lovely place.
And speaking of billionaires who own homes here, Sir Paul McCartney still owns a ranch over on the east side of Tucson.
That's right, true. And I think a lot of...
Doesn't go there much anymore, but that's why that's in that song.
Well, it's slightly hot here. I learned that 2 days ago. I think it may be hot for a 78-year-old, but it's a lovely place. And as I say, the point is that it's taken this prosecutors here in Tucson to take this seriously enough to take Sir Philip to court, and that's why so many reporters from Britain turned up to the courthouse in Tucson today.
And so there have been allegations that, to my ear, sound more serious, much more serious than what's alleged here. I mean, I don't want to discount what may have happened here, and we'll see how this plays out in court. But there have been claims made against Sir Philip Green that are rather more scandalous, at the very least. Why isn't he facing this kind of action in the UK?
Because there is a massive problem in the UK, as we see it, which is that people who are wealthy enough are able to get people to sign non-disclosure agreements, NDAs.
Well, that happens here too.
It happens here too, of course. And the difficulty is that in Britain, it seems to be much more difficult to overturn them. I mean, if you talk about Harvey Weinstein case in US, for instance, those NDAs weren't really worth the paper they were written on. In Britain, they are, and they still are. And that's a problem, and that's one of the issues that we've been trying to address. And that's the reason why a lot of the detail of the allegations against Sir Philip in Britain can't be reported in much more detail than we have already. And that's a big problem. And people, politicians in Britain have been questioning why it is that in the US, wealthy people find it more difficult, apparently, to press allegations against them. Whereas in Britain, people can apparently be silenced much easier. And that's a problem.
I really find it hard to wrap my head around the fact that somebody who's rich and powerful could just get a court order that would prohibit you from using his name in a story. Just because it might make him look bad is kind of the legal reasoning behind that, and that would never happen in this country. I mean, the more public a person, the richer and more politically connected you are in the U.S., the less reason you have, the less privacy you have as far as that goes.
Well, it didn't really work, if I'm honest, because he took this injunction out, and of course...
And then you could write about the injunction, right?
That's right, but also what happened was that in Britain we have, I think you have the same rule here perhaps, but you have parliamentary privilege, which is that whatever you say in Parliament, you can't be sued for. And a guy called Peter Hain, who was a very prominent anti-apartheid campaigner and quite a big deal in Britain, stood up in the House of Lords while Sir Philip had already taken out this massive injunction, spent thousands of dollars on this injunction, and stood up and simply said, "Today I can name, I feel a duty to name Sir Philip Green as the man who's taken out this injunction." And instantly, in terms of naming him, cat's out of the bag. It was very much out of the bag, and then down the road.
And then he dropped the injunction because of that.
Yeah.
Could you report on what was said in Parliament, or would you still be covered by the injunction?
No, of course. I mean, that's we have something in Britain called the super injunction, which is where you can't even report the detail. You can't even report that the injunction has been taken out, which is absolutely bizarre. But again, there has been a history of politicians who've become frustrated with that, simply standing up in Parliament, and saying what everyone else knows, because it's already on Twitter, it's already on Facebook. No one is, you know, no one in the real world is bound by this thing. They stand up, they say the name, and as you say, the cat's out the bag.
We need to take a real quick break here and hear from a few more of those most excellent Buckmaster Show sponsors. We'll be right back. I'm Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com, sitting in for Bill. Back in just a moment. Thank you.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA's Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show here on KVOI. I'm Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com, sitting in for Bill, who's on vacation. Bill is not in Silver City. He's off to someplace else that's a little bit cooler, but Silver City, New Mexico is certainly, at this time of the year, maybe a good weekend getaway to consider. And this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's so much to do in Silver City and Grant County, like exploring the historic downtown Silver City, visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Ordinarily, at this time on the Buckmaster Show on a Friday, you'd hear about what to see and do around this town with Matt Russell on Weekend Watch. He can't join us today, so instead we'll have to refer you to Matt's column in Inside Tucson Business, as well as maybe the Daily Star's calendar section and our own Tucson Sounds local music column at TucsonSentinel.com. Instead, we've got a few minutes left here, gentlemen. I'm joined by Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star and Blake Morlock of TucsonSentinel.com and Bill Gardner of the Telegraph from the UK. Let's take just a minute to run down how Arizona might play in the 2020 election cycle. We've spent quite a long time talking about this year's primary election here in Tucson, but will things turn out as hot here as they have in the last couple of federal election cycles, Joe Ferguson?
I think we've got a very large race in the terms of the Senate race between McSally and Astronaut Mr. Kelly. And so I think that we're going to see a lot of money. I think we're going to see a lot of people. And I think that we're going to be inundated by that with that comes reporters from other parts of the country who will be reporting again on Arizona like they did a year ago.
So Democrat Mark Kelly seems to have locked in that nomination. There's not really a prominent Democrat going to run against him in the primary. Blake Moorlach, are we going to see one of these more conservative challengers to McSally in that senatorial primary on the Republican side?
I would say no.
There are some people sniffing around. Are they going to do it?
There may be some people sniffing around. Well, the thing is, she was appointed, so there's that idea that maybe she doesn't. That she wasn't elected. Somehow, an appointed senator is more susceptible to a challenge. But I think the Republicans are in. Republican hold in the Senate is so tenuous that there's going to be all sorts of pressure to stay out of that and clear that lane for McSally, who has a tough race. And the Republicans are in trouble with the 11 electoral votes, too. Arizona is starting to flip because Maricopa County is starting to flip. And that's a problem.
What do you think about that, Joe Ferguson? Do the Democrats have a chance to take the presidential election in Arizona? We heard a lot of talk about that the last couple of times, and it did not happen. It wasn't even really that close to happening.
Just didn't see the numbers changing. It depends on turnout, which is going to be high, and I think it's going to turn on voter registration, which has always been promised. As you know, the youth will turn out this election, and we're going to see districts and places swing, and that really hasn't happened yet. And so I'm a little skeptical.
But a whole lot of money, a whole lot of many, many more of those incessant TV commercials.
That usually turns people off, not on.
But we're going to see that.
Yes.
I don't think there's any way around that other than maybe just taking your TV and chucking it out the window.
And I also think Arizona might be a safety valve for Democrats for Wisconsin. If they should lose that, they might. It's the next closest, and it's the one that they've done the best in of late.
I think he's bad-mouthing Wisconsin again.
I love Wisconsin.
Careful now. So we've only got a couple of minutes left here, but real quick, give us the UK perspective on what's going on with this whole Brexit situation. Give us, a 1 minute Brexit for dummies.
Okay, so Britain is in a huge mess over Brexit. We voted to leave the EU in 2016. We just had appointed a new prime minister called Boris Johnson.
Who you used to work with, right?
That's right. He used to be a columnist at our paper. He's got a shock of slightly suspect blonde hair. He's a very kind of forthright personality. Some have likened him to a certain a businessman who currently occupies the White House. And Brexit for dummies. So we have been given 30 days to come up with a solution to the border problem in Northern Ireland that no one has been able to come up with for 2 years. Angela Merkel, who essentially runs the EU, has said, you've got 30 days to come up with a solution. And if not...
Because this is like the final deadline that's been kicked so many times.
We've had a few of those.
Yeah.
But yes, this is the final deadline. Boris Johnson has essentially been elected on the promise that we will leave the EU on October the 31st. No ifs, no buts, no more can kicking. And Angela Merkel has said, we don't want you to leave, but if that's what you want to do, come up with an answer. And if you can't come up with an answer, you're leaving with no deal. And some people have predicted chaos if that happens.
That could be quite a mess, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if we leave without any agreement with the EU, then that could be chaos for farmers, for the automotive industry. Others say, of course, that if we leave, we've got control of our own laws and we can control our own destiny and become a great country once again.
We've only got the 30 seconds or so left in the show. I don't think we can get into all of the possible repercussions, but this is something, despite it being a little bit maybe seemingly inside baseball for what's going on in Europe and in Britain, something that will have some repercussions that play out all across the U.S., but we're going to have to leave it with that. I'm Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. I've been sitting in for Bill Buckmaster here on The Buckmaster Show on KVOI with Joe Ferguson, Blake Moorlach, and Bill Gardner. And thank you so much. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team here at Bustos Media in Tucson, including producer, engineer Bob Dio, and Rosemary Brandt, and on behalf of Bill, I'm Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com, wishing you a happy weekend.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.